August is one of those crazy months for us as a family. There's seven of us in my immediate family, my wife and I, and then we have five kids. And out of the seven of us, four of us have birthdays in August. And then outside of that, I think we have, I have a couple brothers and sisters that have birthdays in August. I have probably 10 nieces and nephews that have birthdays in August. So August is almost as expensive as December for us. You know, Christmas and August are the 2 months where I save for months and months and months and do all that. But in living simply, I have lived simply for a long time. Ever since I've had so many kids, I've learned to live simply. It's one of the things we encourage everyone to do around here. And this is how I learned to live simply. You know, same thing, poor people that have birthdays in December, like 14th and 20th, everything gets rolled into Christmas, and they just get one package of gifts. My kids are realizing that that's kind of how it is in August. You know, when their birthday comes, they open their gifts, and it's a pack of erasers and pencils and notebook paper and clothes for back to school. Of course, they didn't know all that when they were younger, so it's kind of like, cool, Dad, thanks for the multicolor erasers, just what I wanted. So now my kids, having, you know, getting older and a little bit wiser, at least they think they're wiser, now they're coming to me and saying, Dad, don't buy me any presents. We don't want any presents. What we want you to do is we want you instead to spend the money and give us a really good birthday party. We want to have a sleepover or go, you know, ice skating or something like that. And what we'll do is we'll invite all of our really cool friends that have all that money that will buy us really cool gifts. And that's how we'll get all the stuff that we want. So all that money you bought erasers and all that for, don't buy that anymore, Dad. So, but perception is reality in that, and for years, they didn't know any better. It's like, yeah, doesn't everybody get cap erasers and neat stuff like that for their birthday? And the realization hit with my sons a couple years ago. They were going to a school where they had to wear a certain shirt, you know, with their school crest or whatever, and, you know, midway through the first semester, they're sitting there, and one of my sons turns to his friend, and he goes, oh, you got that same shirt. I got this shirt for my birthday. And his kid looks at him like, for your birthday? So kind of ruined the whole thing. I was like, dog, the cat's out of the bag. I can't do that anymore. But anyway, I'm a cheapskate. I really am. So, but the perception was reality. For years, they thought that that was just what people got for their birthday. And now it's, you know, not true. And they've learning all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to really have to fork out the money this year. But it's kind of the same thing in church. We come into church, or at least not this church, which is what I love about Mosaic, but church in general. The understanding is you go to church, and the perception is that we talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about who you are, who are you, and why are you here, is the perception for most people in churches across America is that there's one person that does 100 different things. And the reality or the truth of that is, the perception is that's what happens, so therefore it becomes a reality. But the truth of God's word says that there's hundreds of us, and the hundreds of us that make up the church should be doing at least one, maybe two things. So rather than one person doing 100 things, it should be the 100 of us doing one thing that God created us to do well. And that's where we're going to step into today. I didn't get a chance to share this in the first service, so I had to make sure I moved it to the front of my. This is my puzzle. It's great because it's easy to grasp in large pieces. As I turned 40, I realized this is the kind of puzzle I need, the big honking pieces instead of little ones. But I don't know if growing up, we used to have the dining room table. We never ate on it, but we put together a puzzle periodically, you know, the 3,000 pieces. And, you know, every now and then you'd sneak in there and only take a few minutes. And then 6 hours later, you know, you're putting all the pieces in there. I used to love doing that. The idea is this is much like we see church. Right, we come in and we're a piece of the puzzle, and we're walking around church wondering, how in the world do I fit? Where do I fit into this picture? Where does God want me to plug in and be used? What do I look like? Am I a part of the greenery, or am I a part of the water? Or, you know, every puzzle is the same. They got a building, water, and greenery, and those are the most difficult pieces. So today, one of the things that I want to help us look at is keys to putting puzzles together. Is what do you do first? You puzzle putter togethers, huh? The edges, right? You find all the edges, and you put the edges together first, and then you look for the pieces that kind of look like where they go, and you put them in those different segments. So today, one of the things I want to share is talking about spiritual gifts is hopefully it'll be a way to put some of the edges into place so that when we step in to wanting to serve God and being a part of the picture that He wants Mosaic to look like, kind of like Sydney, is that we have an idea of one of the, at least a direction that we go, the area that we might fit. We belong up in this corner or down in this corner based on what our piece looks like. So I want to give us a piece of the puzzle today in spiritual gifts so that we can be a realistic picture, because what we want to do is we want to allow us as Mosaicans to know what the picture looks like and see how that it fits. Just like when you do a puzzle, it always helps to have the box top there, kind of give us direction. So spiritual gifts. And the reality that we need to live in is not so much perception, but God's word. In Philippians 2:13, and you don't need to turn there, I'll read it. It says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to act according to his good pleasure." So God is wanting to work and act according to his good pleasure. And in doing so, he wants to put stuff in us. He wants to work in us according to his will and his good act. So how does God do that? How does God put stuff in it or use us to fulfill his will? One of the things that he does is he gives us spiritual gifts. I talked about birthdays in August. It's a big month for us. God, on our spiritual birthday, when we were born again, one of those big concepts that Nicodemus struggled with, when we're born again, when we're spiritually born again, we ask Christ to come and be the Lord and Savior of our heart, become a Christ follower. He, at that moment in time, through the Holy Spirit, imparts or endows in us a spiritual gift, at least one, and probably more than one. So it's kind of like God shows up on our spiritual birthday when we're born again, and he hands us a spiritual gift, not literally, but puts inside of us a spiritual gift. And then what he says is, I want you to not only discover what this is, I want you to unwrap it and discover it, but then I want you to read the instructions. How in the world do you use it? And then once you learn how to use it, I want you to go out and put it into practice. And you know, that's much more difficult for us men because we skip that instruction phase. We open the box and it's like, that's what it's supposed to look like. We put it together and then we wonder why it falls apart down the road because we have like 6 screws left over. Ah, those are just extras anyway. But we all need to learn not only to discover, but to develop and then deploy our spiritual gifts. So in spiritual gifts, God gives us spiritual gifts on our birthday, our spiritual birthday, and then he wants us to discover what they are, develop what they are, and then deploy them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can actually go there and stick your finger in there because we'll go back to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is on page, let's see, got it right here, 797 of the Bibles in the seat in front of you. You don't have a Bible? We got one in the seat in front of you underneath. You know, pull that out. If you need a Bible, you can hang on to this one. And chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there on the right-hand side of the page, it says spiritual gifts. Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, and he's dealing specifically with spiritual gifts. He says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers," and we can add sisters in there too, "I do not want you to be ignorant." And then he goes on, and throughout that chapter, he continues to talk about spiritual gifts. But the thing that I want to highlight here, and you can keep your finger there because we'll refer to 1 Corinthians 12 later. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant." Now, the translation of ignorant there, what that means is it doesn't mean I don't want you to be stupid or naive. What he's saying is, I don't want you to be unaware. It's another translation uses that word. I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. So I'm going to walk through it with you right now. And there's other scriptures throughout the Bible that deal with spiritual gifts. Paul wrote like 3 or 4 of them. Peter talked about a little bit about them. So there's more than that one reference, but 1 Corinthians 12 is a big one. He's talking about spiritual gifts. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant or unaware or uninformed about our spiritual gifts. Now, the question here isn't whether we have a spiritual gift. It is, what is our spiritual gift, and then how do we put it into use? How do we serve the Master with what he's placed on the inside of us? Every single one of you, if you're a Christ follower, has a spiritual gift. The question then becomes is, what is that, and then how do we put it to use? Just like the puzzle, where do I fit? Finding your sweet spot. And there's 4 main scriptures that we look at when we're dealing with spiritual gifts. And God was really cool in how he did this because they 2 of them have chapter 12 and 2 of them have chapter 4. So if you look at Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. And in all 4 of those scripture verses, they refer to, in one form or fashion, to spiritual gifts, what they are, how we put in the practice, how we use them, defining, developing, and deploying. Those 3 things are touched in there. From those 4 scriptures, we are going to get our definition. I'm going to read the definition. with the scripture references, and then I'll read the definition without so it flows more smoothly. But if we were to define what a spiritual gift is, this is what it would be. Spiritual gifts are special abilities or divine endowments, 1 Corinthians 12:7. They're distributed by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:11, to every believer according to God's grace and design, 1 Peter 4:10, for the common good of the body, 1 Corinthians 12:7. So let me read it without stopping. Spiritual gifts are special abilities or divine endowments distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's grace and design for the common good of the body. So there's some things that we learn from that definition, from Scripture, that we can expound upon. Spiritual gifts are special abilities or divine endowments. God gives them. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. More than likely, he has more than that. Spiritual gifts represent the body of Christ. If God wants to accomplish something on the earth, he will do it through the church, through the members of the church, the body of Christ, and therefore he gifts people with different giftings to accomplish his will and his way here on the earth. So what that tells us is that we are very unique. We know that God loves us based on what we studied last week, who we are, but we also know that God has a very unique purpose and place for us because he's taken the time and the effort through the Holy Spirit to implant in each and every one of us as Christ followers something, a tool to use to further his kingdom, a spiritual gift. So it shows that we each have a unique role to play. The truth is that spiritual gifts, if you were to take all the spiritual gifts and line them up, the direct representation would be in Christ and Jesus Christ act on earth. So every spiritual gift was evident in Jesus. Therefore, Jesus being the body of Christ, or us being the body of Christ, representing Christ, we would represent all of those together. Make sense? So as we strive to be more like Christ, we should be growing and actually operating in more of the gifts of the Spirit. If we all were to become perfect in our time here on earth, we would operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. But because we're not going to be perfect until we meet Christ again, that will never happen. We find the one, two, three that we're really gifted, best gifted to do, and you get released to do those things. Spiritual gifts. There's about 23 spiritual gifts, give or take the denomination, organization, doctrine that you study. And I'll give you an example. I grew up when I was younger, I was involved in the Catholic Church, and one of the things that they believe in was chastity. Well, we believe in chastity too, but they believed in it like even like you didn't get married. You took a vow of chastity if you were a priest or a nun, so therefore you basically remain single and chaste. So I guess that's a word, right? Now, you know, growing up Catholic, it was like there was two things that they believed in and I just didn't want to have anything to do with. The fact that I couldn't get married and everything that came along with that, and the fact that you had to say that you were going to give up all your money and live poor. And I didn't want to have anything to do with either one of those. So I went and found a different church where that wasn't true. And there's more to that than that. It, you know, the truth rang out as well. It was about a relationship and not religion. And I could go on in that. But the idea with that is that there are other spiritual gifts that some churches, organizations, denominations will hold to that we don't necessarily hold to. But for the most part, there's about 23, give or take. And there's a full list of these that I can get to you if you want to know what they are. I'm also going to give you a website towards the end of the service that you can go on and actually fill out a spiritual gift assessment, which will give you an idea of what your spiritual gift is. So I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm going to give you guys something to do. But the idea, there's about 23 spiritual gifts. And another key point in spiritual gifts is we don't get to choose our spiritual gift. We don't get to decide, oh, that one's really cool. You know, we don't go to the mall, the spiritual mall, and walk through and say, oh, that looks really good on me. Let me try that on, you know. We don't get to do that. We receive the spiritual gift that God has planted in us, and we figure out what that is, and then we put it into working. Now, a thing about spiritual gifts, many of us, when we identify or know about spiritual gifts, which is kind of a sad thing about the church, is most churches don't even highlight the fact that there are spiritual gifts and that we need to utilize them. What we have a tendency to do, most churches, is they say, okay, here's all the spiritual gifts. Now you need to figure out what your spiritual gift is, and then you need to turn around and serve according to the gift that God has given you, which sounds great. And there's some truth to that. But the real truth is that we could spend our whole lives trying to figure out what our spiritual gift is and never get plugged in to serve the Master. So what really needs to happen, what God's word says, is we need to get in and start serving in a capacity that we're created to serve. And in serving, we understand what our spiritual gift is. I didn't, you know, understand that I enjoyed getting up and speaking in front of people right away. Actually, I was petrified of it. But in time, as I was given that opportunity and got up here, I think I do a pretty good job. People have reaffirmed that that is one of my spiritual gifts. And therefore, I walk in that, given the opportunity. But that may not be your spiritual gift. So what we need to do is we need to get plugged in areas where we're passionate about or interested in. And then as we're getting plugged in and working in those areas, serving the kingdom of God, then we can identify what our spiritual gifts are. Okay, so we don't get to choose it. Now, a couple things that we will confuse spiritual gifts with that I want to highlight. One thing that we often will confuse spiritual gifts with are gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are just that. They're gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are in Galatians 5. They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. There's 9 of them. And what gifts of the Spirit are, as Christ followers, we're supposed to walk in those. They are the things that help us build our character. Those are all 9 of those are character issues. I need more peace. I need more patience. I need more kindness. I need more love. Every single one of those, all of us in this room are encouraged to walk in. And they come from us wanting to become more like Christ and to build our character in Christ. They're great, but they're not the same thing as spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are just that. They're divine endowments, divine enablements that God either places in us at the time of rebirth that we walk through, or at His choosing, at any moment in time, He could say, I'm going to give you this spiritual gift. Boom, now walk in it, and it could be a one-time deal, and then it goes away. Because it is a divine endowment and divine enablement, okay? And when you understand some of the spiritual gifts, that will make sense. One of the spiritual gifts is faith. Now, are we all called to have faith? Absolutely. But the spiritual gift of faith is that divine endowment, that divine enablement that goes beyond our natural faith. It would be that thing where God just plants inside you. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to follow through because God has called you to do that. And it doesn't matter what is around you, what you see around you. You're not fazed by that. I think God gave those to some of the martyrs early on, that divine enablement to just have faith, to be able to suffer for Christ through all the difficulties that they did because of the cause of Christ. That is the spiritual gift of faith, but it's not the same thing that we're all called. Intercession or prayer is another one of those. We're all called to pray, but we're all not given the spiritual gift of intercession. So saying all that, it leads me to the second thing that we shouldn't confuse gifts with, and that's spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are the disciplines in the Bible that we're given that we can practice, not so much about character, because that's the fruits of the Spirit, but it develops our relationship with God. And spiritual disciplines are fasting, prayer, reading God's word, tithing, there's some other things, you know, solitude, those type things. And where the church has missed it is many times we will practice those things. Well, I'm going to go on a fast because I want to build discipline in my life. And we do it for the discipline's sake rather than building the relationship with God. So spiritual disciplines, the main focus is to develop a deeper relationship with God. I'm going to read God's more so that I can get to know Him more. I'm going to fast and give stuff up so that I can get to know Him better. I'm going to pray more so I can get to know God more. It's about the relationship. So those are some things that we will oftentimes put in place of spiritual gifts when they're not really spiritual gifts, okay? They are they stand alone in and of themselves. So the last one is talents. Here's another thing. Kind of talents and spiritual gifts can be synonymous in some ways, but they're really separate. Talents are given to every human being. Every single one of us in this room has a talent, has an earthly born talent. I still haven't figured out what mine is. I believe that scripture that says, you know, my talent is buried in a field somewhere. So if any of you are out in the field sometime, you happen to dig up a spare talent, want to throw it my way. I'm joking. But talents are things that we're given at our natural birth. It's things that we just innately are able to do. Sometimes leadership is a natural born talent. You've heard it said, you know, he's just a born leader. Other times leadership is a spiritual gift where God implants or endows that on a Christian to walk out the gift of leadership to drive and lead the church. And oftentimes, you can learn leadership. There are certain elements of leadership you can learn. So talents and spiritual gifts are similar in some ways, but they're different in that every person has at least a talent, but only believers have spiritual gifts. Okay? I know that's not totally clear. That's one of the hardest ones to explain. It's kind of like God gives us a spiritual talent, a spiritual gift when we're born again in that sense, and he frees us to use it. And oftentimes, talents and spiritual gifts can be similar and synonymous. You can have natural-born leadership and then also have the spiritual gift of leadership, but it's for the releasing of that spiritual gift into the body of Christ to fulfill God's work in his kingdom and in his church. So those are the don't confuse these things. So you're really confused. Great. All right. Discovering your spiritual gift is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal in me talking about this is not for you to go and figure out who God made you to be. That's part of it. But we, like I said before, we can spend all of our time trying to figure out what we're gifted to do and never release that gift to work in it. So what our real focus is not so much to discover what it is, it's to figure out what it is and then turn around and serve the body of Christ and to serve our master with what he's given. It's that gift that someone gives us that we can turn around and use to bless other people. And that's what the goal is to identify what our spiritual gifts are so that we can plug into the puzzle, if you will, and be the picture that Christ calls us to be, to serve the kingdom of God at large. A couple cautions with spiritual gifts. A few things we need to be careful of. The first one is comparison or elevation. We don't ever want to elevate or compare our spiritual gifts or elevate or compare someone else's spiritual gifts. So, excuse me, I can stand here and Brittany's here and she's awesome with middle schoolers. She works with middle schoolers and but one of the things we're working on with Brittany, and I'm picking on her, and she knows this, so she can mess with me later, but Brittany's working on how to get up and speak in front of middle schoolers and how to be more effective in that. She does a great job, but we can all grow. So as we're working in that, a bad thing for me to do is, hey, let me tell you how good I am. Let me tell you that my spiritual gift is better than your spiritual gift because whatever reason. Right? And oftentimes, it's the spiritual gifts that are the visual spiritual gifts. Like, hey, I get up in front of, you know, get to speak and or try to speak in front of people when it comes out the right way. I get up in front of people and speak, so my gift is more important than yours. And that's not true. There is no one spiritual gift or any spiritual gift that's any more important than the other. God created the spiritual gifts, put the spiritual gift inside of you, and calls us to use that spiritual gift. The problem comes when we try and make our spiritual gift more than what it is, or we make our spiritual gift less than what it is. Well, if I could only do that spiritual gift, then I would be much more complete. No. You find out what God made you to do, and then do it. Because without that spiritual gift, then our puzzle, the picture that God wants to complete, never does become completed. I think that's the worst thing in building a puzzle is you spend all that time on this 3,000-piece puzzle, get down to the last thing, and that last piece is missing. I mean, there's nothing worse in life. There's other things that are worse, but it's one of those horrible things. You know, it's like one more piece, and you're, where did it go? And, you know, you're underneath the dining room table looking for it, and where it's, it's horrible. I wasted all that time, where you know, that one piece. So you are a piece, and you need to make sure that you're fulfilling that piece. Another caution is projection. You need to do what I do, because what I do is more important. Kind of like elevation, but I project my spiritual gift on you. These are often in what we call the wisdom gifts, the gift of wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, those things, where we think that that's just natural and normal, that God, for whatever reason, gives us this spiritual gift, this endowment to kind of see things or understand things. You know, we're hanging out with people and we kind of can sense that they have a certain issue in their life and we'll be able to speak to that issue. And it's awesome because God moves, but we think that everybody can do that. And oftentimes what we do is we place that or project that on other people is like, oh, if you had common sense, and we call it something that it really isn't. If you just had common sense, and the truth is that you have a spiritual, God-given endowment to see those things, and they do have common sense. It's just not what you see. So we need to not project our spiritual gift on other people. And then rejection. We don't want to reject our spiritual gift because we're actually rejecting God and what he wants to do in us. And then the last one is deception. we need to be careful that we're not being deceived to do something that we're really not called to do. We find this oftentimes where we get plugged in to a ministry and we're behind the scenes maybe and we're doing those things, but that one looks like it's, you know, that's what I really need to be doing. I would be complete if I was doing that. And we allow the enemy to deceive us, where maybe what we're gifted and called to do is in the ministry of helps, the spiritual gift of helps, where our job is to come in behind the scenes and just put all this stuff, you know, someone put all these chairs out and turns on these candles and make sure that there's batteries in these candles and all of the different things that make the atmosphere here so great. There's people behind the scenes that do that. And they do that out of their spiritual gifting. And what if they just decided, well, that isn't what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go over here and do this. It leaves a big hole, but it also doesn't allow them to be fruitful and fulfilled. It doesn't allow them to glorify God and edify others in what they're doing. Why? Because they've been deceived to step into another area that looks better to them, which wasn't really where God created them to be. And that's part of the thing with spiritual gifts. The true and final test of your spiritual gift, where God would plug you in and have you work, is that it glorifies God and it edifies other people. So those two things have to be in play. It has to glorify God with what you're doing and edifying others. And I'll use the chair example. If I had the minister's spiritual gift of helps, and I'm in here setting up chairs, and I'm setting up chairs, I'm like, I can't believe me set up these drinks. I can't believe me throw a chair. Somebody else needs to be in here. All right, and it truly is your spiritual gift. Let me ask you, are you glorifying God and edifying others as you're doing that? Even if no one else is in the room. Certainly if someone walked in the room, that wouldn't be glorifying God and edifying, but you're not doing it. Your attitude is not to glorify God. Now, this is really the cool thing. I've seen people when they're really operating in their spiritual gift, they could be setting up chairs, right? And the way that they do it is that they worship God. Not necessarily by singing, although that would be an example, but they're truly worshiping God. They're giving of themselves, right? And they're in here, oh, I love you, Jesus, putting chairs into place and, you know, dancing around, and they're just worshiping Him, what they do. And that is because they want to glorify God and edify others. They know the things that they're doing actually builds the body of Christ, even though no one sees them do it. So glorifying God and edifying others is a key example or key way that we can say, yes, I'm operating in my spiritual gift. There's a story that kind of goes with this, but before I jump into the story, there's a couple slides I want to show you. I said I would share a website, and the website is coming up as we speak. There it is. It's kodachrome.org/spirit-gifts. Now, I will warn you, this is not Mosaic, okay? If you go on this website, the reason I picked it is because you can get run through the spiritual gift assessment for free. I'm all about free. Like I said, I'm cheap. So, but when you go onto this website, it's all pink and flowery, and you ladies will love it, but the guys are kind of like, ah, so it's not a true representation of what Mosaic would be, so I'm just warning you that it doesn't fit our DNA, but it's a free test, and it's a good test, and you will see on there, as I said before, there is a couple spiritual gifts that we don't necessarily agree with or buy into, like celibacy and chastity and all some of those, but that's all right. Run through the test, and if you check positive on one of those things, then we got another church for you to be a part of. But for the most part, the other 20, 23 that we believe in are on there. So you want to run down those things, and it'll give you an understanding of what God has gifted you, the part of, at least a piece of the puzzle, a better understanding of where you are to fit. So you, and they'll have the explanations and all that. Two more. Actually, just do the shape one. We stole this from Saddleback. Why recreate the wheel? They have their thing. They go through this and they call it shape. There's another one that's design, and there's another one. There's probably five or six different things out there. This one works because it's short and easy. S is for spiritual gifts. That's what we just talked about. So what this is trying to take through life. We walk through life and we get told many things, and it's just another piece of our puzzle in a bag. And, you know, when you get to be about 25, 30 years old, you got this bag full of puzzle pieces. You know, you should be this, or you'd be great at that, or you went to school for this, and man, or you stink at that. That's another piece of the puzzle. And we got this bag of all these puzzle pieces, and we're like, what in the world do I do with this? Well, this is a way how we can put this together and maybe understand a little bit more how God has gifted you. Spiritual gifts, we talked about. Another way is our heart, okay? We look at the way God has designed our heart. What is our heart for things? Our passion, the things that we're excited about. The A is, what is the A? I don't know. He's typing it in as we go. I wrote it down. Abilities. That's what it is. Our abilities. I should know this front and back. Our abilities. What are the abilities? These are where the talents roll into this. What are we able to do? Can I sing? Can I play an instrument? Can I get up and speak? Can I just wholeheartedly give everything that I have away? And it's amazing how God just gives that back. So our abilities. What are we able to do? The P is our personality. How has God gifted us personality-wise? What's the personality? Are we outgoing? Are we introverted? Are we people-oriented? Or are we task-oriented? Are we more interested in getting stuff done rather than spending time with people? Or are we more interested in spending time with people than getting stuff done? Or is there an even balance? So personality. And then our experiences is the last one. So God will use all of the experiences that we've been through to identify where we fit. So we just touched mostly on the spiritual gifts, and I would encourage you to investigate, to define and develop and deploy what your spiritual gifts, but also understand that God made you and brought you through certain things to help fit where you belong. You know, even in the rough things that we've been through, even in the tough times, God has allowed us to navigate the rough waters. Why? So the next time as we're out on the ship, when waves start rocking and the wind starts blowing, we've been through that so that we can easily navigate it this next time, or more easily navigate it the next time. And that's no different than in our lives. So God wants to use all of those, our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our experience, to plug us into His body so that not that we can feel all ooey-gooey about ourselves, but that we can accomplish His will and His ways in our lives. So He works in that and helps us understand that. And I'll close with this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. If you want to turn there. 2 Timothy is after Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 6. It's on page 825. And this is the encouragement that I'll leave you guys with, the same encouragement Paul encouraged his son in the faith, Timothy, in. He says this, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear," timidity here, "but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline," or a sound mind, King James. So God, in that, Paul is encouraging us, God is encouraging us, you know what? The gift that is in you, fan it into a flame. It could be this small ember right now. He's saying, but fan it. Do whatever it takes. Squirt lighter fluid on it. Pour gasoline on it. Fan that thing so that it ignites into a flame. Why? Because God has called us to be a light on a hill. And He says that we don't cover that light up, but we leave that light uncovered so that people not can look at us and say, "Oh, how great that person is." So they can look at us and say, "Wow, God is doing something in their life. That person is living for God because their light shines in such a way." So fan that gift into a flame so that it shines bright for God. So that as people look at us and see us and see our lives and the way that we serve each other in love, that it will be an example. It will be a guiding beacon to them that that's what they need to be a part of. So my encouragement is to that. Fan that flame.